This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, I'm with Shannon Riggs, artist, co-owner of PopCycle, and chair of the Historic Fourth Avenue Coalition. Welcome, Shannon.
Hi, nice to be here today. Thanks for having me.
Shannon, could you describe some of the art sponsored by the Historic Fourth Avenue Coalition?
The coalition sponsored a mural in Antigone's parking lot by Jessica Gonzalez. It's a really cool mural, kind of a literary theme, desert under the sea theme. So very whimsical, kind of a children's literature kind of theme. We've also done some panels, some like shade cloth panels on the construction fencing along the Union on 6th project, mostly on 6th Street. These were done by local artists, most of them without really any experience doing any mural work before, so kind of their first foray into doing a larger scale piece like that. They're panels that are about 14 by 5 feet, so 14 feet long, about 5 feet high. They were designed to cover the construction fencing along that area so that we could keep the funky 4th Avenue vibe instead of having those corporate images that are usually on those types of spaces. Also, once they put up the plywood walkway that kind of keeps people from getting hit by construction debris along the corner of 4th Avenue and 6th Street, we recently installed some signage on that, some vinyl signage with some fun, a fun 4th Avenue map and a historic 4th Avenue Coalition logo, a mural by John Carrillo, mask up pigeon reminding people to wear their masks. Also a vote mural by Penny Almacias is on the entrance of that. One of the panels has a little piece by Lenny Dam, also called Tough Kitty Designs. She did a cool piece with some clouds and eyes looking at you. And then on the other end, Serena McCrae did the More Art This Way, pointing to direct people towards the shade cloth panels along 6th Street.
I think I saw the new Jessica Gonzalez mural at Antigone's recently, and I wasn't sure what I was looking at first, and now the under the sea, desert under the sea motif makes sense because the hair is like floating, right?
It's like
beautiful. I think one of my favorite construction site murals is Frida Kahlo wearing a mask.
Yeah, that's Penny Almacias, who also did the vote entrance to the walkway. So yeah, she does a really good job. Her stuff's very cool.
COVID-19, speaking of the mask, has hit 4th Ave pretty hard. But the avenue isn't a stranger to hard times. For people who maybe haven't been on 4th Ave recently, what's it like right now?
Well, I think we're staging a little comeback right now. You know, a lot of retail was closed for quite a few months. And, you know, we have smaller spaces down here on 4th Avenue. So it's a little bit hard when you get a lot of people inside your business to make sure you create those socially distanced spaces for your customers and for your staff. So it's been a little bit of planning, but yeah, the businesses are starting to reopen and a lot are going back to their regular hours. So I think our daytime traffic is returning to not normal, but you know, a nice level. The bars that don't serve food under the guidelines aren't really, I don't think they're able to be open right now, but the ones that do are able to open up. And we're hoping to create some more outdoor spaces down here on the avenue so that we can start to activate the space more in the evening time, what would have usually been our bar nightlife time, and maybe get some music going and stuff like that again that everybody knows 4th Avenue for. So trying to get it back to that vibe.
Could you update us a little bit in terms of who's closing, who is new, or who especially needs help right now?
You know, Tallboys has just handed over their space to Pop's Hot Chicken, which I'm not sure how soon they're going to be going in there. They were a food truck. I hear it's amazing, like chicken sandwiches. So that's exciting. Ben, who owns Tallboys, is going to be partnering with his mom, Joe Schneider, over at La Cocina to do a brunch there instead for the time being. We're super sad to see Tallboys go off the avenue, but Ben tells us he's still going to maintain a presence down here and keep a foot in the door. Like I said, a lot of places have been reopening just recently. Like Razor's Edge across the street just has reopened recently. Wooden Tooth Records has been open, I think, back to their regular, or pretty close to their regular hours for a couple of weeks. Yeah, I know that they're still working on the cider bar down on the corner that had started, you know, getting ready before all this hit. And hopefully they'll be getting open soon. I think the places that we need to think about are the, like I said, those bars that are not able to open because they don't serve food, like Che's, for instance. They are able to do some takeout drinks and things like that. So if you want to get yourself a delicious michelada or Bloody Mary, Che's can make you up a little kit and you can take it and, you know, enjoy it on your front porch or in the backyard. And that's just a good way to support some of these folks that are not able to reopen because of the health department regulations. And also buying merch from some of these bars, like the Surly Wench or Che's or, you know, your favorite bar, like, you know, get a t-shirt, get a hat, you know, something. If you can't, you know, come down and eat or drink, then check out their merch section on their website.
It's wonderful to be reminded that there are lots of ways to support the colorful businesses that make up 4th Ave and, you know, give it that Tucson character that everybody loves. Speaking of what lies in the future and how to handle some of these challenges, I know that there is talk and discussion about streeteries, this concept of closing streets to allow businesses to kind of spill out and use that space in order to facilitate social distancing.
We've been super excited about that idea. My partner and I went up to Oregon earlier in the summer, and in the Pacific Northwest, mostly Washington, but was hit pretty hard. And so they've got some pretty strict regulations up there. And we saw some really cool ideas about how to take it outside in Eugene and just around different places that we were traveling to. You know, it's hot right now, but when it's getting cold up, it was when we were up there, you know, in July. But when it's cooling down in other places, it's going to start being our perfect weather here, our fall that we is actually kind of like spring for us, right? So the idea that now is the time for us to take it out onto the street has been something that we've been really trying to push with the transportation department and the planning and zoning development department. And I know that they've been really good about helping businesses get those TREs so that they can have that little extra space in the parking spaces and things like that. And that works for some businesses, but the idea of having a central spot and a bigger spot where you can have a few tables and people can get stuff from, you know, maybe you want to get Pop's Hot Chicken. Maybe you want to get, your friend wants to get Beeline. Like the idea that you could both get your own stuff, you know, and bring it over and eat together in a central spot and be outside and safe and socially distanced and maybe, like we said, have a band, you know, or one person playing, or however it works with, you know, the regulations to make it safe. But yeah, it just seems like it could be such a cool concept, not just for COVID times, but for down the line, you know, for the future, that activating those outdoor spaces, and we have such fantastic weather for really half the year. Yeah, it's something that we're working on, and hopefully we can get something in the works pretty soon.
I love the idea, and I can see it now. When I went to Madrid, I remember spending a lot of time at outdoor eateries and sidewalk tables. Almost all of the bars and restaurants that we went to, we were sitting outside, and I thought, man, I want this for Tucson. So this is a really exciting concept for me.
Yeah, we were in Spain about a year ago too. And yeah, like Barcelona and Madrid and everywhere, I mean, that you go. Yeah, there's these wonderful, you know, outdoor spaces, and they really prioritize, especially in the smaller places, people and pedestrians and having nice gathering spaces over having a place to park necessarily or a place to drive. And that's, I think, such an important for us right now with COVID and people feeling isolated. What an important way to keep people feeling connected and out in the fresh air and not feeling isolated.
Shannon, how has 4th Avenue changed over the years? I really wanted to ask you this question as somebody who's been around and who's been on the avenue and who's been through a lot, right? Like the streetcar coming in and all kinds of things.
I mean, I'm kind of an old timer. So, you know, I went to the U of A 88 to 92, go Cats. When I first moved here, I moved from the Phoenix area. So we had Mill Avenue, but 4th Avenue was just like more intimate. It was, you know, smaller. It was way more pedestrian friendly, walkable. And it was just my hangout. Like we were always down here, even though we weren't old enough to go to the bars. There was a nice mix of retail and eating and drinking and, you know, whatever you wanted to do down here or just hanging out with your friends. It was kind of the place to be. And then I moved away in the early 90s after I graduated. And that point, I think it went through some rough times, right? Like it got a little seedy and they were having a hard time. And it kind of lost that mix of the good mix of retail and the other stuff. And so I think that then around the time that we moved in the 2008, you know, early aughts, I guess you'd call it, we started to see that mix move back in, that nice mix of retail and nightlife, which keeps, you know, people hanging out longer and being able to, you know, spend time and enjoy each other's company. So that was great. And I think that we're in a renaissance of 4th Avenue right now. I really feel like we've got a really great mix of businesses. We've got the people that have been here, the legacy businesses that have been here for 40 years, like Antigone and Tucson Thrift and La Andita. But we also have the new young upstarts, like the new Bocker Cider House that's coming in, or the Chicken and Waffle Place, things like that. So, and then COVID hit and it kind of was, you know, a drag, obviously. So we're just trying to save what we got because we feel like there were so many cool little new places just taking a toehold that we really want to make sure that we're able to help those people stay, and that after this is over, that we're still going to have that vibrant mix of the old and the new.
Just yesterday when I dropped off the microphone at PopCycle, I went next door to the co-op and bought Monsoon chocolate and Barrio bread, which is just a lovely, you know, kind of a reminder of how 4th Avenue can be this heart that really even connects other parts of the city as well. You know, as we know, both of those businesses are not on the Ave, but some of their products are carried on the Ave. So,
yeah, absolutely. Like the 4th Avenue, I mean, you know, the co-op is a great example of, you know, another one that's been here that's a legacy business that it would be awful to lose. I mean, the co-op has been, they are frontline workers there, you know, it's a grocery store. So just to watch them power through this and, you know, stand their ground about keeping things safe in there, but staying open and doing what they do. It's been great for us. I mean, you know, we obviously love having a grocery store right next door.
Shannon, why was the historic 4th Avenue Coalition formed?
Well, long story short, it was formed to negotiate with the developers of the Union on 6th across where they tore down the Plush Flycatcher building to build the 7-story tower, you know, apartment complex. When we saw that coming in, we just felt like the developers really needed to come to the table with some benefits for our area, since we knew that we were going to be feeling the impacts of the building for quite a while. I mean, it's 2 years in construction. We've had a lot of road closures. It's dusty. The businesses along where Ordinary Bike used to be and Rosie's Barquette. Ordinary Bike didn't leave us because of that construction, but I think it would be really hard for anyone to have a business in that space right now. And when developers come in and impact an area for a long term, we really need to make sure that they're considering what those impacts are creating in the area and the culture of that area and the economic health of that area. So we realized that just a couple of business owners weren't really going to be able to do it on our own. So we connected with the West University Neighborhood Association, Iron Horse Neighborhood Association, Local First Arizona, and then eventually Dunbar Spring also joined in, even though they're a little further off the avenue, but they're interested in what's happening because development is also coming their way with the links and everything. And then we also got Pi Allen, which is, you know, also another neighboring neighborhood to 4th Avenue. So as a coalition with that, with all those voices behind us, we were able to negotiate a community benefits agreement with the developer, which created some mitigation funds. It gave us some input on the design of the building, on the murals on the building. They're going to get us a water fountain, water fill station will be there. One of the most important things we secured was local preference for the retail spaces that are going to be in the bottom of that building, and so a little bit of rent controls on that so that they are affordable to local businesses, at least for the next about 8 years. So that will be hopefully important in maintaining the local flavor of Fourth Avenue and making those spaces available to the types of businesses that we want to keep on the avenue, and discouraging, you know, chains and folks like that from moving in.
It sounds like you have some really important wins that really justified all of the work of organizing. Do you have any advice for people who are wanting to organize to maybe similar ends?
Coalition building is the most important thing. And I think we're hearing that a lot lately. I mean, it's interesting that we're talking today right now when, you know, Georgia is reporting that Biden has won there, and all the work that Stacey Abrams has done building coalitions there and getting people to the polls. And I think that's something that Tucson can especially benefit from, because we have so many people here who are so dedicated to so many causes, but I feel like often they're not connecting with each other in constructive ways. And so I think that just trusting each other, that you won't be at cross purposes, that you can come to a common goal and accomplish it. It has been so amazing for us to work with these neighborhood associations and our neighbors and Local First Arizona. People said we couldn't do it, that there was no way that we would all come to any agreements about types of things that we wanted to ask of these developers. And it actually came together really pretty easily. And once you sit down with people and realize that you're all kind of coming from the same place, and even if you're not, that they have something of value to add to the conversation, it makes a huge difference.
Shannon, could you tell us about Made in Tucson Market?
Made in Tucson Market is, we've been talking about doing a kind of locals only type street fair for a really long time. And so finally, after we got the coalition together, we thought, well, what a great fundraiser and a great way to celebrate, you know, what we've done. And Fourth Avenue Merchants Association helped us out too with logistics, because, you know, they put on street fair, so they know how to do all that street closing stuff and, you know, all those logistics that maybe aren't our cup of tea necessarily. Although we are learning. Yeah, so it's just local artists only. And it is much smaller, obviously. It just goes from 4th to 5th on 7th Street. We're trying to do it twice a year. Unfortunately, of course, we got a little curveball thrown at us and didn't get to put on our spring one. And I probably won't be doing our winter one this year. We're trying to create some kind of alternative, maybe some artists getting to set up here and there on the avenue with some businesses or something, but it's very preliminary, but just some thoughts about ways that we can do it that would still be socially distanced, that those artists could still get some exposure. But it's been great because there's so many folks who feel daunted by a street fair or maybe can't afford the space. So to be able to get something affordable where we can get people to get their wares out there, we've never turned anyone down. Like, you know, we have, and it's usually, I think last time it was close to 100 artists. And we just, you know, in addition to the little street closure, Antigone also lets us use their parking lot, and we use the ordinary bike parking lot. So we have just created spaces wherever we can find a little spot, and we don't want to turn anybody away if we can help it, you know. So far that's worked out pretty well. And yeah, it's just been a really cool little market. I think it's got a good vibe, and people seem to really enjoy it, and it's a fun day.
I've definitely spoken to artists who participated in Made in Tucson Market, and they had really good things to say about it, and also just were happy to learn from the opportunity and to kind of understand what it means to get involved in some of these market opportunities.
I mean, that's how we made our living before we had the store, was we did, you know, street fair and all those markets. And we did some out of town, like we did a Renegade Craft Fair and things like that. So, and we used to do the Tempe Festival of the Arts. So we're kind of old hat at it, you know, and just the idea of helping people, you know, get their business license, you know, figure out how to get their little Square app going and things like that so that they can actually sell their stuff, not being on Etsy or, you know, are having their website, but actually be out in person meeting the people and letting people get their hands on the products is so important.
Absolutely. And boy, do we miss it now.
I know.
Shannon, you and your partner, Dee Dee Kanan, opened PopCycle in 2008. Speaking of your experience with markets and getting things going, could you tell us about your store and how it came to be? And also, if you could take a stab at describing the aesthetic that you use to curate your inventory. There definitely is one, and I'd love to hear you describe it.
Well, it's actually, so it's Dee Dee and I, and we're Dee Dee Co-Design, and we make a lot of the product in the store that it's mostly stuff made out of like stuff we find in the trash, like old cabinet doors and yes, that we put images on and things like that. And magnets that are made out of glass that we get from the Ace Hardware, like the ends and the cuttings and things like that. So, and then it's also, our other partner is Dee Dee's sister, Jennifer Radler, who is the Monster Booty Threads. So she does the little felt monsters on the clothing and stuff like that. And then Libby, our manager, of course, runs the show, and she's probably the person that people recognize or think of when they think of PopCycle. She's the mayor of Fourth Avenue, and she's amazing, and we could never do it without her because we're not good salespeople. So when we started, I mean, we were lucky because like I said earlier, we had been doing trade shows and we had been doing street fairs and things for quite a while, like about 8 years when we opened the store. Dee Dee and I had, and Jennifer had just started getting into doing that stuff. So we did have that experience of understanding how the retail business worked, obviously from the vendor point of view, more so than the seller shop owner point of view. But we did understand how it worked, how markups worked and things like that. We all had our business licenses, you know, all those things. So yeah, it was just getting it under a brick and mortar store, what we had been doing wholesale for a while and doing at fairs and things. So, and it was really nice actually to get it under, you know, do that. And we still do street fair. Street fair is really the only one we do now. We kind of slowly, you know, dropped off of doing those fairs, but they really were like our bread and butter for a long time. And even after we opened the store, it just, it came together really nicely. We just wanted to, and we also have our studio in the back of the store, Dee Dee and I do. So it's nice not to have that in our house anymore. So it's really fantastic to have our house back. And as far as the aesthetic in the store, I think we do have an aesthetic. I don't know exactly how to describe it. I think that between the four of us, you know, we know what we like and we know what we think is fun. I think that also it's about the people that make it. Like, I feel like we're so close and we have such good relationships with so many of our artists. And that, I think that's so important to the success of the store and also to the success of their sales, of their things selling. The more that people are, you know, feeling involved and welcome to come in here and, you know, fluff up their work, or, you know, if we have a gathering that we, you know, we're friends with all these folks, that it really puts better energy on everything. And I think that that really helps. So I think that it's really so much about instinct and relationships than it is about, oh, we want things to look this way or that way.
Well, and I think that PopCycle also really does a good job of involving the artist's story. And that is something that kind of goes, you know, underreported or ignored in a lot of cases. And that's a really big part of, I think, investing in purchasing an item. So, well, who made this and why did they make it? And what other things have they made? And especially when you're talking about Fourth Avenue and keeping it local and the local color, the local charm, the local character.
Yeah, that storytelling element is super important. And I have to give that credit to Didi, who does a lot of our social media, and also Danielle Sanchez, who was our social media guru up until recently. She's finishing up her master's degree, so she had to take a little break from us. Well, maybe, hopefully she'll come back someday. But yeah, they've done a fantastic job at making all of our social media very focused on storytelling and letting you know really something about the people that make that thing. And that personal connection is so important. And Marcy Ellis does our Instagram now, and she does a great job also, and also a well-known artist in town and super, super cool and part of our little family. So yeah, I think that's part of it too, is just that, you know, that family, coming together, and the storytelling is huge. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's so important, and we have some really good storytellers who have helped us along the way get that out to the community.
Could you choose one item in the shop to describe for us?
So High and Dry Jewelry, Susie Kormanik, she's also part of our, our PopCycle family for a while. Her jewelry is just really rad. It's just, it's got that desert vibe, but not in a Cocopelli kind of way, just a very cool organic, desert vibe, and silver and turquoise and all that cool stuff that gives you that nostalgic feeling, but with such a modern flair to it and a very rock and roll aesthetic. So right now I always wear my hawk necklace. So it's a very cool silver necklace with a hawk, and I always get a lot of compliments on it. So yeah, definitely that's a item it's near and dear to my heart. I wear it all the time.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Shannon.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. Support for Artist Stories is provided by Benjamin Supply, presenting a full spectrum of hardware and plumbing fixtures for kitchen and bath, and their Gallery Tucson, offering national and local art in both the Tucson Warehouse and Transfer Buildings on 6th Street and 7th Avenue. With products available at will call, they are currently open by phone at 777-7000 and at benjaminsupply.com or gallerytucson.com.